Hi, welcome again to Edge Got In, and I'm with my colleague and sister in Christ, Estella, Dr. Estella Chavaz, and we're very excited to be putting together a Bible study from an Earth School course that we've both taken, and it's called Do You Follow the Shiny Objects? And this is one that's very, very close to our hearts because we're going back and forth on the name of today's recording, today's Bible study. We were thinking about calling it the Fame Game. Do you play it? And we decided to go with the shiny objects because the world screams, and there are many different shiny objects that present themselves before us. And God whispers. And we really do have a choice on a day-to-day basis in terms of which voice we respond to, what catches our attention, what causes us to linger in life. We want to try to keep these calls to 20 minutes because we know that you're out there living life, and this is a time of refreshment for you. I'm going to just start off with a few verses that I encourage you to download the Edge Got In study guide. And on it, you'll see the monthly edge, just put in today's date. And the second page after you've downloaded this, and we actually have a tab. Don't we have a tab, Stella, on the front?
Yes, we do. We have a tab. Yeah, Edge Got In tab, right.
The Edge Got In Bible study. So once you get on there, you can write down our scriptures and take this throughout the month in terms of making these scriptures your own. But the first scripture is actually from Galatians 1:16, and it says, "Do not love the world. Do not love the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." This is a really powerful scripture that we'll be referencing today. The next scripture is one of my favorites. I'm just checking the reference of that first one. It's actually 1 John 2:15. The second verse, or the second scripture that we're referencing today, is actually from Galatians, and it's Galatians 1:10, if my memory serves me correct. Yes, this is one I memorized about 20 years ago. So it's, "For am I seeking the favor of men or of God, or am I striving to please men? If I were still striving to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." And that's a very, very powerful scripture as well. So we have a few this morning that we're pulling from. The other one is the famous one by Jesus that speaks about seeking first, but "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well." And that's a very powerful verse as well. And Stella, you had a few too.
I had a couple of them. And as Lauren said, this whole subject on pride and ego and the shiny objects is becoming so real. And we have to constantly revisit it, all of us, because we can easily fall prey to it. It started at the very beginning with Adam and Eve in Genesis, when Eve was tempted by Satan's lie to be like God. And we have to make sure. So I think one of the scriptures to remind ourselves is just Genesis 3:5. You know, hey, don't be tempted by those shiny objects. Don't be tempted by that lie, because that lie can cause a host of problems, which we're all living from at this point. Mm-hmm. Another one, I think, is to humble ourselves. And I think in 1 Peter 5:5, God talks about all of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the pride, the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So I think that's one that we can really we can think about too. And then another one, Proverbs. There's so many, but another one that rings true to me, and I always, Proverbs 16:18, where God talks about, this is a perfect example of pride going before destruction. You know, and you need to really put those prideful, boastful ways down, and just live a life that's humbly for Christ and live like He does. Those are three that ring so to me.
That's great. Can you just repeat those? Just repeat the actual scripture so that people can
Sure.
write those
Okay.
down for the study.
Sure. Sure. So the first one is Genesis 3:5, and that's when, you know, the Garden of Eden and what started all of this, right? And then the second one is Peter 5:5, when God says, all of you close, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 5:5. And then the second one is Proverbs 16:18. And that's the perfect example of, you know, pride going before destruction. God talks about that. So those
that's,
are the three.
That's great. And mine, again, are 1 John 2:15, which is, do not love the world or anything in the world. The world is passing away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The second one is Galatians 1:10. Am I seeking the approval of man or of God? This is one that comes in my mind a lot throughout the day. Third one is, do not worry. But seek first the kingdom of God. Don't follow those shiny objects, and all these things will be added unto you. The fourth one is Matthew 6:20. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and thieves can't break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is an incredible reminder. The other one that I pulled from was from Revelations, and this is one that really hit me when I was in my 20s, it's that vision that John was having of Jesus, and Jesus saying, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold, and because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And that really hit me, thinking, all right, because I've gone through that time where I'm like, I'm lukewarm here, I'll throw in a quiet time here or there, but really I was not seeking the kingdom of God first. I was following the shiny objects. And Stella, how this topic came to the forefront in terms of our focus for today was the fact that we both played the fame game, seeking to be seen, acknowledged, recognized, approved of, really caught up in the drug of approval and the disease to please, which are huge energy leaks, as well as distractions from our first love. Did you forget your first love? That's really another verse that's worth
you
our
know,
attention.
And I think it's really important for everyone to start now thinking about that while they're on top of their game, because what happens when you're sometimes in the fame game or falling shiny objects, you lose those shiny objects and you don't know what to do. You're at a point of a funk.
Yeah.
What I do now that I've lost this? And then what happens is you're building your way back up again, right? And so then as you build yourself up, you don't know how to follow. You know, I heard a great scripture about, you know, yes, it's great to lead, but there's this beauty in following, you know, and you can be just as great a leader as when you're following, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like you have to know how to prepare yourself and know how to live and not follow things that are just you know, what's that saying, all that glitters is not gold? It's so true.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know what I thought was powerful, Stella, is this stuck with me last week when we were having a conversation. You were driving in your car. I don't know whether it was a Porsche or whatever car you were driving at the time, but you looked out the window and like you had this reflection of, when is enough enough?
Yeah.
And so can you share that? Because that really stuck with me last week. I was just thanking God for that, because that was a real eye-opening that I think we all relate to when we're desiring to walk the walk and truly stay aligned with where God is calling us to go and to fully occupy the space that He has prepared for us, rather than creating a space that we think we want or need in order to feel enough, to feel that we've made it. I mean,
right.
That was
and
a great story.
I think what happens is you get to a point where God has blessed you with so much, and then you forget and start thinking that I'm blessing myself. And so you don't
exactly.
You never ignore your walk. I've never denied Christ. But I have sometimes thought, oh, look at what I've done. And nothing I did. I don't own any of this. This is all His. I'm just borrowing it. And it won't go with me. How many rich people take it to the grave? Nobody. You know, everyone else is fighting for their treasure. But I think what happened, I'd been to a point where in my life where I'd gone up the ladder, the corporate ladder, and I had my Porsche and all the shiny objects to show it. And I was looking out. I just won what they call this warehouse dash, where you win all these gifts, and you can go in a warehouse and you can get whatever you want. Now imagine this, okay? You go in a warehouse and you can pick whatever you want. And I remember driving home, and I thought, you know what? And I saw a homeless person, and I said, you know, when is enough enough? I mean, I don't need this stuff. So immediately, I kind of kept one of the flat screen TVs, and then I gave the rest away because I said, you know, I don't need this stuff. It's just stuff. I mean, I don't have enough room in my house for this stuff. Why do I have it? So I never want to get to the point, well, first of all, that I don't have empathy and sadness for that person that's on the street. I don't ever want to do that. And living in the city, you have a tendency to just walk by those people. And I always think of, you know, the man in the Bible where they passed him all the time and didn't give him money, you know, the rich man. I don't want to ever get to that point. I want to get to the point where I am appreciative and I always give back. I always pay it forward because I don't want to be numb to that. I don't want to be, I don't want to have that, I want nice things. And God blesses us with nice things. He wants us to live well, but he wants us to always acknowledge him first and know that these blessings are his and not to be boastful and not lose our humility. So.
Yeah, I think that that's such a powerful reminder because when we farm out our identity to the world around us, basically we say, can you please tell me I'm enough? Mm-hmm. Can you please validate the person that I'm questioning that I am? Then it's just an invitation. When we get and how do we know when we're doing that? We know it when we get flared up, when we get easily spun, when we don't get what we want. When it's, you know, an attachment, the definition of an attachment is simply it's an emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without something, person, situation, outcome, we can't be happy. And it has a vicious cycle because once you've received that which you were going for or attached to, it's quickly followed up by the anxiety that you might lose that which you were attached to. So when Jesus calls us to have one attachment, one purpose, this is one of my daily prayers. Dear God, give me the grace to have one attachment, my heart to yours. Because from this, when we seek first the kingdom of God, the heart of Christ, everything else is added. Meaning, everything that gives us that lasting joy, our true joy comes directly in the measure through which we serve. What is our give back project today? As much as we think it's, okay, if I could just reach this quota, if I could get this promotion, if I could expand my book sales or coaching programs, all of those things literally are like sand in our hand because once you get them and you want more. It's the flesh is like a spoiled child.
Right, it's exactly. The devil. He tricks us with thinking because what he does, he keeps giving us, he gives us, you know, we set these achievements and these goals for ourselves. We refill, and Satan will give us another one, and he keeps us busy. Because if he keeps us busy and it keeps all these things and glittering things around, we'll keep constantly running, and we'll walk away from Christ, or we won't spend time with him.
It's the distraction.
So it's up to us to always remember that, you know, seek you first the kingdom of God, because that's what's that's so important, and that's what matters. And yes, work toward these goals. I think we, you know, Lauren and I are both very high achievers. Some people aren't, and it's very hard for high achievers to ground themselves and not get caught up in the next thing, you know, because we want to stay busy. I always say that when I go to heaven, my friends like Lauren, we're going to be really working. You know, we're not going to be relaxed around enjoying the early gates. We're going to be working. Guys will say, sit down and relax.
Yeah,
sit down and relax. You earned it.
It's like you're gifted your cross, man, in terms of like the excitement personality.
All right, Stella, Lauren, you don't have to work now. I mean, you have work. That's crazy work.
kidding.
But it's just, and I think, you know, one of the things I really want to the listeners to know, I'm sure we all have friends that we see going through this, and I think the greatest, sometimes you can't approach them on that, and sometimes you go through it, and I'm sure your friends see you going through it, but I always say the best thing to help people who are going through the shiny optics and the all those things is to bring it back to the scriptures like we did today. Because that's going to open their eyes to, okay, we need to not be focusing. We're focusing on the wrong thing. Our goals are wrong. We're setting the wrong goals.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And, you know, it's interesting because the flesh is like a spoiled child. The more you feed it, the more it wants. And so it's definitely something that we're the only gatekeepers that can control that insatiable desire for more. That's why that one verse is so powerful from 1 John 2:15 that says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the eyes and the flesh, the boasting of life, of what you have, what you've done, is not from the Father. It's from the world. And the world and its desires are passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." And the humility piece, we were talking about this as well. Pride comes before a fall. What is a worthy examination of consciousness is, what is your motivation behind what you do what you do? And this is a little practice that you can take with you before you even engage in any project. Why am I doing this? And how does this glorify God? How does this glorify God? And he talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In First Corinthians, he talks about what is it?
And he says the greatest advocate of Christ there was. You need to follow him and be encouraged by him and lead the way he led. Not out of selfish vain or conceit. He talks about that in the scriptures, but in humility, considering ourselves better than yourself. You can't do that. You got to really live for Christ. And again, those constant reminders and the staying in those scriptures that we gave you. Sometimes we pray, but we don't meditate on those scriptures. And when we give you these weekly scriptures are not just for you all. They're for us. We remind ourselves daily about this, but to revisit those and meditate on those and see how it applies to our lives, because that's what God gave us. We're learning how to live the way he did, which is very difficult, right, in this world especially. But with his grace, he'll teach us through his word.
That's it. So really, just to sum up today, the scriptures that we gave you in the beginning, 1 John 2:15, Galatians 1:10, Matthew 6:33, Matthew 6:20, and then Estella, you gave...
Genesis 3:5. I gave up Proverbs 16:18, and there was one other, 1 Peter 5:5.
Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 5:5. And so just to slow life down a little bit this month and to really examine your conscience, really to take time to ask yourself those questions. Why am I doing what I do? And whose glory am I seeking? You know whose glory that you seek. As I said, God has built in kind of an internal alert system when you're farming out your identity to the world around you. The more you are spun when things don't turn out the way you want them to, exactly the way you want them to, that is a sign of an attachment. You have an emotional clinging due to the belief that without that certain outcome, you're not safe, you can't handle it, and you won't achieve whatever internal status or assumptions and expectations you have for you to feel good about you. When we lean our entire personality back into God and realize we have been crucified with Christ on the cross, Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live. I'm not here. Every now and then, God will knock me on the head if I'm spun by what somebody did or didn't do and say, "Hey, you're not here to be liked. You're here to make me recognizable and stand, occupy the space of the love that I've called you to step into. You're not here to win the approval of mankind and to achieve the shiny objects in the world. Remember that, because that is literally the archway through which you'll pass, and there's no sense of final satisfaction playing that worldly game. It's the flesh is like a spoiled child. The more you feed it, the more it wants. So this month, we're inviting you back to aligning your heart with one attachment, your heart to God. and to just really ask the Holy Spirit to increase your desire for Him above anything else, any shiny object that the world offers, because this will give you that sense of groundedness and that sense of purpose, knowing that I'm here to serve God first and foremost. May my words, thoughts, deeds, and actions align with that, because then we'll step into Galatians 5:1, which said, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the shiny objects." It is a burden, and it never ends. And it never gives you that sense of, oh, I finally made it.
No, I know.
Thank God. God, we have that. We finally made it. You know, we're enough in Him. He is our one and only sense of purpose and inner joy. And remember that the measure of our joy comes in the measure through which we serve, as it was for Christ. He served us to the point of death to open up the door of life. And so this is our invitation for ourselves. We're just, is any of these Bible studies come directly from our conversations in Earth School, saying, "Yep,
yeah, exactly,
I've taken the pain game class, and it wasn't
like,
fun."
in our ESCA in study guide, we talk about our first thing is through the Holy Scriptures and meditation. We integrate the teachings of Jesus Christ into our daily thoughts, words, deeds, and actions. Our intention is to edge God in daily into all that we do, say, and think. And that's what the purpose is. All these scriptures we give you, all this, the word that God gives us to give to you, look, not we give you, it is to honor the Father who sits on the throne.
Absolutely, absolutely. So do you want me to close in prayer, sister, or would you like to close in prayer?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can, that's fine. Go ahead, sister.
Sweet Jesus, thank you so much for this time again today to learn how to edge you in to our words, our thoughts, our deeds, our actions. You stand at the door of our heart and knock, and you call us out of darkness into your light. So we pray for the grace today to begin again with one attachment, our heart to your heart. Give us the grace to seek you first above any shiny object that comes in our way. There's going to be a lot of life pop-ups this month.
Yes,
we pray that we would step back and allow your face, your way, your purpose, and the power of your Holy Spirit to be our attachment and our guide, so that we would hear the voice within us saying, "This is the way, walk in it." We just praise you and thank you for another gift of life. Give us the grace to let go of the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the boasting, and farming out our identity to the world around us. We thank you for the opportunity to begin again and to lean more of our personality into you today than yesterday. So have your way with us, God, and we also give you the permission to override us anytime we are following those shiny objects. Even if we hear one command, do not forsake your first love. Do not forsake your first love. Give us the grace to align our words, thoughts, deeds, and actions with our desire to edge you in and to edge out those shiny objects so that we can make you recognizable in all that we do today. We're just very grateful. In your most precious name we pray, and give us the grace to stay closer today than yesterday. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. And be sure to go to our website and blog. We need some bloggers. Talk about our study. Share some things. Share some insight on how you've edged God in this week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for your time today. And enjoy practicing. Go over those scriptures and choose one of those scriptures. Write it on a card and put it on your refrigerator for the month. And just use it as a touchstone. Even if it's, am I seeking the approval of man or of God? That's a great internal shifting soundbite. Am I seeking the approval of man or of God? Why am I doing what I do? And does it make God recognizable? Enjoy practicing, and we truly look forward to the next time that we are moved to put something out there to inspire your life by God's grace. Take care and give him heaven, as they used to say in my youth group.
That's right. Give him.
Thank you.
Give him the word.
Yeah, give him the word. Give
care.
Jesus. All right. God bless.
Bye.